Isaiah chapter number 9, verse number 6. This is one of our favorite verses.
Thank you. This Blake? Is Blake? All right. Praise the Lord. Come on up here. Seven-year-olds. Give me my seven-year-olds. Come on up here. Eight-year-olds. Come on up here. Nine-year-olds. I need some help this morning.
Yeah. There you go. Make your way on back.
Hey, Brother Chad and Isaac, y'all come up here and take these songbooks and stack them up where these kids won't be messing with them. There you go. Well, there, my Brother Robert's helping out. Great. Y'all make your way on up there. Fill up the front first and work your way back, okay? There you go. Amen. I know that's contrary to what adults do, amen? But let's fill up the front and work our way back. Amen. Where'd we stop? Nine-year-olds? Ten-year-olds? Give me my ten-year-olds, amen? Where are you at there, brother? Okay, amen. Yeah, for those ten-year-olds, amen. All right, what about Adrian and Vincent? What about you guys? Come on up here. Come on, man. Amen. Vincent, come on. Amen. Adrian, come on, son. Vincent, get up here. Let's go. Brother Russell, grab them boys and throw them up here. Amen. I don't know what they think they're doing. Amen. 11-year-olds. Give me my 11-year-olds. And my 12-year-olds. Give me my 12-year-olds. There we go. Yeah, my 12-year-olds. Brittany, okay.
Yeah, you're growing up, aren't you? Growing up. All right. All right, give them a 13-year-old. Amen. Tighten up. I'll tell you what, Chad, you sit right here. All right, Brother Chris, you sit right here in this chair. All right, brother, you can sit there. Vincent, come on up here, son. You can sit here in this chair. Amen. See, we got room for this young lady. Let's see, why don't we move Blake? See if we can get Blake on the bus. Looks like more boys over here. Miss Serena. You guys in the back, let the you two boys get up and let Miss Serena get right in there. Go right up there, Miss Serena. There you go. Get by them girls. Scoot down if you would, Miss Destiny. Move them song books if they're in your way. There you go. All right, there you go. All right. Amen. I want you guys to show these youngsters how to act, huh? Can you do that, Brother Seth? Oh, yeah. All right. Praise the Lord. It's a good-looking crowd. Amen. Amen. All right. Scoot over a little bit, if you will, Caleb. There you go. Don't let them girls touch you. They shouldn't touch you. If they touch you, let me know. Let them get them disinfected. Amen. All right. Amen. All right. I'm going to need you guys to really work hard to pay attention this morning, okay? We're going to hopefully we're going to preach to these adults this morning. Amen. It's a good meeting here. I love these fourth Sundays when we have our children come into the auditorium because I love the children. I'm not a preacher that's bothered by children. Amen. Lord knows I worked at the rescue mission work, and I've been cussed and yelled at and threatened and stuff thrown at while I preached there, and it's just like home to me. Amen. Amen. That sounded rough, didn't it, wife? Amen. But it's good to be here this morning. Pray the Lord will bless the message. We'll open your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter number 4. Mark, chapter number 4. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, if your roast is going to be ready by noon, you're not going to make it on time. Amen. Hopefully, it'll turn off and still be plenty warm time you get home. But I want to preach what God's burdened my heart with this morning. It's been something that I've been thinking on for the past several weeks. I knew that this fourth Sunday was coming up, and I knew that this would be when the Lord would have me preach this message. With God's help, I want to preach the Lord's message this morning, taking my time and getting the truth across. I'll get down to the outline and it'll go fast. But the introduction is building up to that, and I want you to pay attention, all right? In the book of Mark, chapter number 4, we'll read a familiar passage beginning in verse number 36. The Bible says, "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? The Bible says that they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I cannot tell you how many times over the course of the years that I have read this particular passage of Scripture. And every time I read it, God brings my mind to a phrase that is rarely ever associated with the story, yet it is there nonetheless. I believe the phrase is of great importance, or it would not be within the pages of God's holy word. Every word is important. Every word in your Bible is of great value, or God wouldn't put it there. I believe this particular phrase, these words are important because it challenges our faith. It calls upon our sense of responsibility and obligation concerning the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's there. It is not found, the phrase that I'm speaking of this morning, is not found in the meat of this passage. The meat of this passage is found in verses 37 through 41, the story of the ship out on the sea. And the phrase that I'm drawn to is not found in the meat of the passage, which very quickly pulls us away from the phrase, causing us to easily miss it. And therein lies the problem, therein lies the application, and therein lies the message this morning. The phrase is found at the close of verse 36. The Bible says there, and there were also with him other little ships. We focus on the big ship. Our minds are immediately drawn to the big ship. But there were also little ships. Now I receive from the Lord that in our focus on the big ship, that is their wants and their needs, the problems they face, the fears they're confronted with, the labors that they put forth, how often do we do this not considering the little ships? The little ships. They were, listen, if you think about it, the same storm that came on the big ship came on the little ship. The same battles that they fought in the big ship were the same battles that the little ships were fighting. They were fighting the same storm, battling the same elements, challenged by the same fears, facing the same loss, yet sorely at a disadvantage. You know why? Because Jesus was on the big ship. And the only hope for the little ships lie in the hands of the big ship. You hear me this morning? Those of you that can't seem to settle what it means to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, that the only hope for the little ships lies in the big ships. The only hope the little ships have was determined on how the big ship handled it. The little ships. You know, if I were to read this passage and ask for things that might stand out to you whenever you read it, we'd hear all sorts of responses from, boy, that must have been a powerful storm, that Euroclydon, and that terrible storm that came down on them. All of a sudden, we'd hear about the waves that the Bible says beat against the ship and the mighty winds that blew against it. And Jesus was sleeping there in the hinder part of the ship. We'd hear of the fishermen and how they must have labored desperately to keep that ship afloat. And all these different things concerning that story, whether it's rebuke of the wind and the sea and the fear that they feared and all the various things, but likely not one mention would be made of the little ships. Not one. More specifically, listen, this morning, I want to, with God's help, bring our thoughts and set our focus this morning on the little ships. Adults, you're the big ships. These are the little ships. And the only hope the little ships have is how you handle it as the big ship. I want to set our focus on the little ships. More specifically, I want to challenge us as big ships to make sure that we are setting forth the right example, influencing the next generation on how to live a godly, spirit-led life. Amen. You know, I've often said, and still so, every one of us are products of our influences. Every one of us are. Right. Every one of us, whether you like it or not, whether you can admit it or not, we're everyone a product, entity of our influences. That's just the way it is. The way you approach every decision of life, the way that you handle strife, the way that you handle trials, the way that you handle problems of this world goes back to how you witnessed somebody else handle that problem. We're everyone products of our influences. We treat people the way we treat them because of our influences. How many times have we seen a lady go from one bad situation to another, and some of us would look back with a pious eye and say, well, she must really like that environment, being beat on, being abused, being mistreated, all that. She must like that environment. Chances are it's not that she likes it. It's more likely that's all she knows. Just the way it is whenever we approach any situation in our life. It's down to influences. You know, when you think about the little ships and how they're going to handle the storms when they come, it's going to solely be based on you and I as big ships. To challenge us out of this story, to challenge us as to our influence for these little ships. And I'll promise you, they're there. And I'll promise you, you are influencing them. Oh, yes, you are. You are. So I said that we are everyone products of our influences. Every decision you make goes back to that influence. Every response you have to a situation goes back to a certain influence. Every reaction you have to anything, your likes and your dislikes. Man, how many people have you met that said, I don't like eating that type of food because when I grew up, that's all we had? While on the other hand, somebody will say, that's the kind of food I like. Why? Because that's the kind of food I grew up with. Right. Influences. But man, when I come from the Carolinas and somebody put that bowl of guacamole out in front of me, not interested. Not interested. Why? Why, somebody from Texas, you'd jump all over that. You like that good guacamole. Not me. Not me. A lot of that has to do with influence. We're everyone products of our influence. Now listen. If that is so, thus being said, it all goes back to that influence. We would be wise
to then do our best as big ships to set forth the very best influence of our faith so that little ships can learn how to respond to various issues of life. Let me say it this way. So that little ships can learn how to properly respond to the issues of life. Because you are teaching them how. You're teaching them how. As a believer, you want to make sure you're teaching them the proper way to respond to issues of life. You the type of person that blows up at the drop of a hat? That's what you're producing. You're the type of person that'll take off on a cussing madman recital? That's what you're producing. You're the type of person that can backslide and not even make your palms sweat. Don't worry about blasphemy toward the Holy Ghost of God. You live the way you want to live. You'll shack up. You'll listen to whatever music you want. You'll go to whatever shows you want. You'll get involved with whatever recreation you want. You'll do all these things that you want. And it don't bother you. It's because you've lost sight of the fact them little ships are learning that too. Brother Mick used to teach us what you allow in moderation, your children will do in excess.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Because of influence. Of influence. You know why it is somebody thinks they're a good Christian? Because they go to church every Sunday. They don't come back Sunday night. They don't come back Wednesday night. Not involved soul winning ministry. You know why it is a person can convince themselves that they are a good Christian? Because they come to church every Sunday. Because they're influence. That's the way I was brought up. We went to church every Sunday. I'm a good Christian. You don't realize the Bible teaches us to be faithful in God's house. And the reason is the little ships. We're teaching them. We're teaching the little ships. Here in God's Word, we see that the little ships follow. Amen. What a good-looking bunch of little ships. Amen. Amen. And by the way, nothing special about that word little ships. It just means a small boat. If I took, let's see, come here, Brother Chad. I'll use you since you're right here close and your son. Come here, Brother Chad Jr. If I took these two right here, this is a little ship. This is a big ship. He has the ability to do really whatever the big ship does. He just can't do as much of it. He is limited. He's a smaller ship, but he's a smaller version of this one. And he's going to grow up with his influence in his life. And the way he handles problems, his primary thought's going to be, how does Dad handle it? How do the adults in my life handle it? How do people around me handle them? That's going to be his influence. Right or wrong, he's not going to know the difference. He's a little ship. All he's got to look to is his adult leaders in his life, his adult influences in his life. Amen. All right, you guys can be seated. The little ships. Reading this story causes me to wonder, how many times have I, now listen, put yourself on that boat with those disciples and the mighty storm blowing against it, just as the storms may come into your life, just as they come into my life. I wonder how many times have I been so caught up in my storm that I don't even consider the little ships. Don't even consider them. I wonder how many of you this morning might, by the help of the Holy Ghost of God, realize that there are times where you're so caught up in your world that you neglect to consider the little ships and your influence in their lives, whether it be in a positive manner or whether it be in a negative manner. The little ships. Reading this story causes me to wonder, how many times have I been so caught up in my strife, been so caught up with my storms, been so caught up with my trials, not considering that there are little ships watching me
and you. They're watching. And I asked, did I leave them a godly influence? Let me give you three things about the little ships real quickly. Number one, they are following occupiers. The Bible says there very plainly in verse number 36 that there were with him also other little ships. Jesus thrust out. They're heading to the other side where that maniac is. But as they go out into that sea, the Bible says very plainly that the little ships were with them also. And what I mean when I say following occupiers, I don't care what you do, this group is going to be in your life. They are there. I wrote down, listen, they are there. They are ever present. You cannot escape them. They are there when you go to work. They are there when you're with your immediate family. They are there when you go to the store. They are there when you're a part of your recreation. They are there when you're out on the ball field. They are there on the streets. They are there in the church house. They are there in your Sunday school. This group is everywhere we go. Everywhere. They're occupying your space. And you are influencing them. Number two, it said number one, they're following occupiers. Number two, they are fixed observers. They're watching you. They don't have to ask. They don't have to ask, Dad, how important is church? They see it.
Yes. Amen.
They don't have to say, Dad, how important is the Bible? Mm-hmm. You show it to them.
That's right. Good.
They're fixed observers. What causes you to have fun, Dad? What do you like, Dad? They're watching. Out on that sea, the whole purpose they even went out there was because the big ship was out there. They're fixed observers on the big ship. That's you and I. What's this next generation of Christianity going to be like? It will be according to your influence. It will be according to our influence. Well, I can just do whatever I want to. Nobody has to tell me what to do. Yeah, I know. I know. And that's why we got the mess of a country that we're living in today. Because you can do whatever you want to. And we can. Preacher taught this morning in Sunday school class, we have liberty in Christ. I know that, but one thing that we don't seem to grasp is that there are consequences for our decisions.
That's right.
Reaping and sowing. And this crowd here, all they have to go by, I'm telling you, I'm not a psychiatrist or anything like that, I just know this truth. All these guys have to go by is what you set forth. That's all. You're the big ship. They're the little ship. They're fixed observers. I mean, the big ship, that's where the action is. The little ships are looking and listening and watching every move the big ship makes. Because the big ship is where all the wisdom is supposed to be. They're the big ship, amen. They're the ones that can carry the load. They're the ones that take up the most room, that can get the greatest amount of work done. And not only that, it is the big ship where Jesus was. Everything is about the big ships in the eyes of these little ships. Number one, they are, I said, are following occupiers. Number two, they're fixed observers. Number three, they are forming opinions. They are. Their opinions are being formed by our influence. Their opinion, and more specifically, their opinion of our faith in Jesus Christ. Their opinion of our Christianity is being formed by you and I.
Does that not convict you when you consider sometimes how our influence may not be the best? I think about the strongholds that's in a believer's life, and the little ships are watching you, drinking, drugging, smoking, missing church like it's nothing, not dressing modestly for you young ladies, not being a person of integrity and discipline for you men. They're watching that. How many children are going to grow up thinking it's not important to pay bills? Because moms and dads don't see it as important. And that doesn't stop. The reason moms and dads usually don't see it as important is because their moms and dad didn't see it as important. It was influence. That's how powerful this thing is that I'm talking about this morning. You know, the very thing that sent men into a condemned state was simply Satan asking a woman, yea, hath God said, influence. That's all. Influence. They are forming opinions. These little ships are being influenced as they watch the big ships, receiving instruction as to how to respond to different facets of life. The issue is not necessarily a right or wrong issue for the little ships. They simply are influenced by the big ships, and that's all they know. That's all they know. If the big ship drops the sails in the storms, they drop their sails if they're big enough to have some. If the big ships are bailing water, they're bailing water. If the big ships the people take cover within the little ships, they take cover also. They're fixed on the big ship, and they're going to do what the big ship does. If the big ship lightens the load, they lighten the load. The big ship cries out for help, they cry out for help. The big ship jumps sail or jumps ship, they jump ship. I just do whatever I want, really, Brother Brian. I just do whatever I want, and I don't worry about what other people do. It's on them. Well, that's the condition of our nation. We as big ships must realize the importance of establishing a godly example of our faith so that the influence that we provide them is one that will result in a vibrant, a full, fruitful Christian life. You know what? If I understood this truth that I'm talking about here this morning, I really don't even have to set out to teach them. All I have to do is be what I'm supposed to be. That will teach them. That will teach them. Listen, we cannot blame future generations for the mess of our society if we as adults are unwilling to live in a manner, if we're unwilling, not unable. We cannot blame the affairs of this country on the next generation if we as adults today are unwilling to be what God wants us to be, living a life in all manner of holiness and godliness, therefore setting forth the proper influence of our faith and a shining example of Christianity. Listen, the children already have enough against them as it is, without you and I, those professing Christ, obscuring and clouding their view of the faith. That's their influence. They already have enough enemies against them without us that profess to be that profess to know God and walk with God, without us obscuring that view. They're watching you and I. They're the little ships. Satan is against them, deceiving them. The world is against them, trying to use them to bring about their philosophy, which is an anti-God philosophy. Their own flesh is drawing them, leading them in the paths that would destroy them.
And listen, our Savior loves the children. Our Savior loves the children. He loves the little ships. And I believe that Mark, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God, humanly speaking, could have very easily left that phrase about the little ships out, but he didn't. Because the Holy Ghost of God wants us to realize they matter.
Amen.
They matter. They matter so much in the fact that we are setting forth the example for them. They were there. My goodness. The little ships. The little ships. Mark chapter number 10, the Bible says, and Luke 18, both of them have these words, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not." Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. Suffer them. Suffer them. Be mindful of them. Be mindful of them. Tolerate them. Endure them. Suffer them. Do not hinder them. Bring them to me. And everything we ought to be, listen, as a child of God, everything we ought to be about is what we ought to be concerned with is making sure that we do not live in any manner that would restrict their ability to come to the Savior. That's our influence. That's our influence. Matthew chapter number 18, look over there if you will. In Matthew chapter number 18, listen to these words here. In Matthew chapter number 18, in verse number 5 and 6, we read these words. "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones," that's this crowd right here, "and whoso," that may be you this morning, "and that offending means to hinder their ability to see the Savior or obscure His light. For whosoever," the Bible says, "shall offend or hinder or set at naught one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." Say, what does that really mean, Brother Fisher? I just read what it meant. When you start hindering these little ones, these little ships, when you live a life in a manner that hinders these little ones, the Bible says it's a lot better for you that a millstone were hanging around your neck and you're cast into the sea. In other words, he's not pleased with that. Not pleased with it. I want you to notice something else while we're in this area. Look down in verse number 10. All right, be quiet, girls. Verse 10, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones." Watch this. Watch it very carefully. And let this sink into your bosom. Watch these words. The Bible says very plainly, "For I say unto you that in heaven," watch this, "their angels," listen, "their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." That ought to scare the daylights out of us. In other words, when you offend one of these little ones, there's like a great transponder, if you will. The immediate look, the immediate thoughts of this young man when he is offended or despised, that immediate feeling and thought is put right in God's face. Man, I've seen children
when the parents, if you will, their authorities have been unjust to them. When their authorities have been unjust to them, the feeling that they have inside is immediately before the Father. Their angels, his angel, this young man's angel, is ever before the face of our Father in heaven. What do you think he's doing? He's telling on you when you cause him to question the things of God, when you've caused him to be offended. Very, very powerful thing. That's why I'm very careful how I treat little children. That's why I get on some of our men around here to make sure they do not mistreat these children. I don't want God against our church. When you start offending children, that's no game to be played. And as adults, we're the big ship. We got to realize that when we do not live in a manner that pleases our Heavenly Father, it hurts them, and therefore hurts us, the little ships. You can be seated, Chris. The little ships. I remember reading of a generation in which it was said of them, they knew not the Lord nor the works which he had done. It was after the days of Joshua, and those saints of God that outlived Joshua, this generation arose that knew not the Lord nor the works, his mighty works that he had done for Israel. And I do not know the exact cause of this sad state of affairs. But I believe I can narrow it down to one of two things. Why is it a nation would grow up and not know the works of the Lord? Why is it that a nation would grow up and not know the Lord or the mighty works that he had done for the previous generation? It's one of two things. Number one, I wrote, it's either an overemphasis on things that really don't matter. An overemphasis on things that really didn't matter. Or number two, an underemphasis on the things that pertain to God and his mighty works. That simple enough for you? The little ships. Influence. I fear today that we have unknowingly set forth a very confusing influence of the Christian faith. Very confusing. I wonder sometimes for a child to look back and watch what mom does and observe what dad does. They come into church on Sunday morning, they carry themselves differently. They go home, they act differently. When they're at work, they act differently. When they're at family reunion, they act differently. When they go out to recreation, they act so differently. That must set forth a very confusing image. I'm reminded of a message the Lord gave me several years back on the best place to hang your Christianity. Now that some people do, they hang their Christianity in different places. Sometimes they hang it right outside the door here. Put it on when they come in. Drop it off on the way out. Sometimes they hang it outside the doors of their home. Because when they're in home, it's not church, it's different. They hang it up on the ball field. All of a sudden now the things of Christ aren't real out there on the ball field. And on and on and on we could go. But you got to realize these little ships are watching. They're watching you, adults. They're watching you. And it influences them. Children behave, okay? Hang on, I'm almost done. I said, I fear today we've unknowingly set forth a very confusing influence of our Christian faith. Fickle faithfulness. You know it's right to go to church, but you don't go to church. Right. What kind of message does that send? You would readily tell your children that it's right to go to church, but you don't go to church. Shallow service. You'd stand up, man, and you would declare to every one of these children that the right you should serve God. God is worthy of our service, that you should be faithful to Him and serve Him and find areas to minister. And we should pray that the Lord has sent forth laborers into His harvest. We should serve Him. But do you serve? Do you serve? Weak in separation. No Bible. I wonder how many children see their fathers open up that blessed book and read. I wonder how many images, how many of these children have images just like this of the adults, their fathers, their authorities, right here. Every one of them ought to have. You know why they may grow up and not read their Bible? You know why, don't you? You know why. You want to know why these children grow up and they'll not pray as they ought to pray? Oh, yeah, you know why. They're influenced. They're influenced. And it just goes on and on. Dishonoring dress. I preach about tattoos, and listen, I'm not going to go there this morning, but some of you as adults, you've been involved in places, you've grown up in the Lord. I'm not putting you down, I'm just saying you have tattoos. And then I stand up and preach the dangers of those things and how the Bible speaks against it. But because of their influence, that's an obstacle for them to overcome.
Right.
I've had little children, tell me there ain't nothing wrong with tattoos. Nothing wrong with tattoos. They're fine. There's nothing wrong with tattoos.
Cool.
Well, why is that? Influence.
Right. That's right.
It is. And like I said, I'm not getting on anybody necessarily, but I'm trying to get you to realize how important it is that every part of our life is seen from the eyes of those children. And we're teaching and training them how to respond. I'll get up and preach. I'm a human being. Sometimes my words may get mixed up and I may say something way off. But our lives speak a lot louder than our messages. Our lives preach a lot louder than our words. And your life and our lives as adults can preach a lot clearer message on what is right than what words can do. Our talk, gossip. I was thinking this morning, Brother Jerry, as we were, he slipped out. This morning we were in the office and we were just talking, but I knew what I was going to be preaching on. And my thought was, Elias was in there, it's early in the morning. My thought was, I wonder what does he see as we talk together? What is he getting? Elias is a very observant young man. He's kind of ugly. Where's he at? There he is. He's kind of ugly, but I'm just teasing. Good young man. Anyway, but that I knew what I was preaching on, and it caused me to be concerned that I was saying things that would produce a positive influence in his life because I knew what I was preaching on this morning. But that's the way we ought to always be. I wonder sometimes if these children, they grow up, and how many of them say, everybody around me that profess to be saved, they seem so fake. They seemed so fake. I wonder if I asked these boys if they would be honest with me and could communicate with me in a manner, if I said, do Christians seem fake to you? What would they say? What would they say? Because what they say is very important. Do these things, our gossip and slander, criticism, actions, our television we watch, recreation we're a part of, music that we listen to, all the while the little ships are watching. They're watching. They occupy our space, observe our actions, form their opinions. Have I sent the wrong message to the little ships? Have we sent the wrong message? Thus producing a generation not knowing how to live by faith. I'm afraid we probably have. Proverbs 4:11, the Bible there teaches us, we learn in that passage that the greatest way that we can influence the little ship is to, as big ships, lead them in right paths. Solomon wrote concerning his father's instruction to him, he said, I have led thee in right paths. Adults, we need to make sure that we're leading the little ships in right paths. Right paths. And it calls upon us to be the very best we can be for them. We are setting the example for them. We want them, whenever they come into a situation in their life, to right away go to a godly influence. Oh man, your mom and dad were just in a horrible automobile accident. Little Junior says, let's pray.
Right.
Let's pray. Where do you get that from? Man, the government's going crazy, and we need the power of God to bless so that this law don't come through. Well, let's pray then. Let's pray.
Yeah.
No, we want to get at the machine guns, march on Washington, and try to take care of it. Sure, that's what carnal flesh does.
Yeah.
Who's with me?
Right.
And that's what your children are going to want to do. You know why? Your influence. But how about they say, well, let's pray and believe God. They're not going to do that if we don't provide that kind of influence. They're not going to do that. In our text in Mark chapter number 4, verses 36 through 41, I believe we can make application to some areas in which the big ship might influence the little ships. If you'll write these down, I'll just go through them real quickly. That's the message this morning, just to try to draw your attention to how you, as a big ship, are in charge of influencing the little ships. And in our story, just kind of ask the Lord to show me some things so I can make application. How about this? Number one, here's a way that the big ship might be an influence, would be an influence to the little ships. What do we need to try to make sure that we're setting forth? What kind of influence do we want to have for these guys? Number one, I see, first of all, the need for the presence of the Lord. In verse number 36, the Bible tells us there. Oh, let me get in my place here. Verse Mark chapter number 4, verse 36. The Bible says, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. Now, this is the big ship. The big ship. They took him. Number one, the presence of the Savior. Adults, do you have the Savior in your life? Number two, how is the big ship going to handle pressure and strife? Verse 37, the Bible says, and there arose a great storm of wind. Don't forget the little ships were there watching. There arose a great storm of wind. How to handle the pressure of life. Listen, these little ships, the way you handle the pressures of life will be realized. It'll be rehearsed, and it will be repeated. The law of reaping and sowing. The way you approach difficulties will be how they practice those approaches. Number three, verse 38 also, where will they position the Savior in their life? Verse 38, the Bible says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship. He was there, but positionally, he was in the back. They'll see that. Number three, where will they position the Savior? Will he be first or merely a fixture? Will he be permanent or preference or preeminent or preference? Will it be all in all or one of several aspects? Will it be what we want, how we see it, or what he desires and what he says? Number four, will they depend on prayer for strength? When the storm came, it got so bad, the Bible says they awake him. They went to him for strength. Number five, do they believe? Do they believe his position as sovereign? They said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Master. Master, is he your master this morning?
Number four, they want to know, will their God, talking about those in the big ships, will their God's power reign supreme? Amen. We know the answer to that. Verse 39, he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Number seven, will they realize the purpose of Scripture? Verse 40, he challenged them concerning their faith. The just shall live by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Adults, do you realize the purpose of God's holy word is to increase your faith? To strengthen your faith? Why? For yourself, sure, it'll benefit you, more importantly for them. Number eight, will they persist in seeking more about Jesus? Verse 41, they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? In closing this morning, big ships, you are influencing the little ships. The question is, how are you influencing them? If negatively concerning the faith, make it right and begin today to live in a manner that would be a positive influence for the next generation. Maybe you've never realized this responsibility. You've been actively involved in training your children in things of this world, how to be productive in this world, maybe how to hunt, how to fish, how to wage war and fight battles, how to work, how to fight, how to play ball, how to cook, how to sew, how to be a good wife, how to be a good husband, all these things of the world, but have failed in training your child how to develop a vibrant walk with God that'll surpass anything else you could teach them. But prayerfully this morning, you realize that maybe this morning God showed you you've kind of majored on the minors because you've not shown the little ships how to have the Savior's presence, how to handle problems and strife, how to properly position the Savior in your life, how to pray, gaining God's strength, how to perceive Him as sovereign, that God's power is supreme, to realize His power in the Word of God, His purpose of the Word of God, and how to persist in seeking the Lord. The little ships. As you get caught up in your big ship world, don't forget the little ships are there as well. Let's all stand together, our heads bowed, and eyes closed. Kids, y'all just stand where you are. Go ahead and stand. But we're praying, okay? So just bear with me. Shh. Fathers, we bow before you this morning. I ask you, Lord, to speak to our hearts concerning the need to be the right kind of examples for our young people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Chad, won't you come up here and help me with the young people, please? Help them to be quiet. Listen, invitation's open. God spoke to your heart. I'm going to invite you to come.